Just want to let you know those that piece that Ashley was talking about with these small, the small book group. We did a pilot kind of program with it last year and earlier this year. And so anyway, if you are interested in any of that, I just want to let you know that it is not a Bible study. We do our Bible studies on Sunday morning in Sunday school and also Sunday nights when those are back into play here in September. So that's not what they are. They are Christian books. It does cover some scripture here and there. But it's a good time of fellowship. Our group does a meal, and they'll have to do a meal. They have to figure out what the group would be. But if you're interested in that, fill out that form. We'll keep those in there for a couple of weeks and give those forms to Savannah. And, yep, there she is back there. So we have to do double duty back there. We're missing several people that work back there to serve back there today. So we have several people that are out today. Just keep them in prayer. My wife is sick, been sick for a couple of days now and still in bed. So I think she got food poisoning, so we're just hoping she'll get through that. But it is good to be here with you this morning. It is definitely good to be here this morning. They believe that we're in a post-Christian time, which means they believe that Christianity kind of has run its course. So we need to be the song, the words we were singing today, need to bring those into heart, into play, and knowing that we serve everlastingly. We don't have a beginning and an end. We serve, once we come to Christ, we serve forever. And so today I want to share with you a word here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John for a little bit, 1 John 4. And I want to ask you a question while you're turning there. Is do you feel loved? Now, some of us, we have this idea, we understand what love is. You understand what love is. You think you know what love is. But most of us have love, and we put conditions on it. We go in and out of relationships because of conditions of what love is. I don't believe the world understands what love is. I believe the world tries to experience the love that it tries to figure out how to experience the best that it can, but that doesn't understand really what love truly is. And I don't believe you can understand love until you understand and know who God is and have a relationship with Christ. Christ is not interested. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is not interested in religion, but in relationship. So the love that we experience in this world, I'm telling you, you don't hear anything about love, but you hear a lot about hate. You don't hear a lot of words come out of people or on TV or in the news about love, but it's all about hate. It's all about disagreeing. It's all about picking sides and not even really picking a side of what you believe, but picking something and going against it. Just to push and fight against it. And if you were on the hunt for love in the world, you would have a hard time finding it. You know why? I believe that there are a lot of people, maybe some of us today, I'm sure a crowd like this. Well, you know, if anybody knows how to put a smile on their face, it is church folks. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. We know how to do that. We do it well. But I believe there's a lot of lonely people, even in New Life. I believe there's loneliness here. I believe some of us don't feel the love that God wants us to feel and to experience. There's so much in the world right now. And it's hard to find anything. It's hard to find love in any of it. I want to go to 1 John. I want to talk about love today. And Scripture tells us a lot about love. But I want to start in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Now he's talking to the believers. Because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That doesn't mean God doesn't judge. That doesn't mean God doesn't mean these other things, but God is love. This is the part here that there is a love that you can only experience through God. It is the perfect. There is a love that you can only experience through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you first receive Christ, you understand just the basics that God is offering you something that costs you nothing. It's a gift out of love. He offers you salvation that you could not purchase on your own, but he purchased it and he showed it by giving his son all that he had. His son. Is that not love? Yet you didn't. He sees it in a way that you're not loving him back. You want salvation. You're trying to figure out how to love a God that you don't see. But God takes you and he begins to build you. And the first thing you experience with God is love. It's not forgiveness. It's love. He goes on, he says this in verse 9. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. His love is the desire that we would come to him, knowing that some will refuse it. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, you have refused God's love. It's still offered to you. But you refuse God's love. And I will ask you a side point, on a side note. Then when you stand before God, how will you give an account for the sins that you have in front of you? Verse 10, love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. So we are taught that we are to love others as God loves us. That is a lifetime journey. Even in the church, there are things that happen in church, in churches across the world where believers pick and choose who they want to love. We are not to be that way. We are not to pick and choose who we love. We are supposed to love all believers, regardless of color, race, nationality. We're to love all believers because we all belong to the same family. It's the family of God. And we all have the same Father. And we all have the same Savior. And we're all going to be living in the same place, however that works. We need to learn how to love one another. He's teaching us to love. No one has ever seen God. And if we love one another, God remains in us. And his love is perfected in us. There's a love in us that can be perfect, that only comes from God, from the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, 13, this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us assurance to us from his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know that the love that God has for us, God is love. And that one who remains in love remains in God and God remains in him. There is a part, the love, that love connects us with God. It was the beginning. That's how it is. God loved us. When we come to Christ, it was God's love. Forgiveness was in there, but it was God's love that powered that forgiveness. So I want to let you know right now, if you have or don't have a relationship with God, I want to tell you that God loves you. But now the responsibility comes up on you. What are you going to do with God's love? You're going to accept it, or you're going to refuse it and push it back? He said there is only one Savior. God gave it through one gift, Jesus Christ. But he didn't stop. He said this, and this love is perfected with us that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are as he is in the world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. We do not know how to love until we receive God's love. And we've accepted God's love. And then through that, we understand and know that when the end time comes, and the end comes, we stand before God, we don't have to have a fear of punishment. Amen? We are adopted. We are grafted in. We are saved. We are children of God. But those who don't know God, those who have not a relationship with Christ, that push God's love away, they will have a fear of God. And rightly so. And rightly so. He says, if anyone says, I love God, now this goes a little deeper. He says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Now, the Bible is very strong when it calls someone a name. It titles someone, you're a liar. Now, the only one that can truly say that is God. With 100 perfect perfection. If God says, if anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. There is no room for hating one another. There is no room in the house of God or in the family of God of hating brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no room for that. And if you put room in there, then you've got a serious problem. For the person who does not love his brother, cannot love the God he's not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother. God, once we come to Christ, we understand it, we receive God's love, salvation, all that. His Holy Spirit begins to teach us and to push us to begin to love. And folks, this last election, there was a lot of hate. Even from brothers and sisters, a lot of hate. Be careful how you judge. Be careful how you judge people, what they look like. Be careful what they do. All that. Be careful how you judge. You need to go in the bathroom, put your hand on the sink, and look in the mirror. Check yourself out. And then don't walk away. Ask God what he thinks. He might give you a different perspective than what you have of yourself. Because we are not as mighty and great as we think we are. When we begin to judge people, we're finding ourselves in a place that we should not be. There's great scriptures about that. Be careful. Be careful about judging. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians. You use this a lot in marriage, but I want to share with really what it means in chapter 13. It's the love chapter. It talks about love. We talked about now what love is from God. We talked about God's love. Isn't God's love amazing? Amen? He showed it and proved it to us by what? Sending his son. Awesome that we can receive salvation and have eternal life. Now, let me tell you, if this message seems basic to you and you're not grabbing on it, then I'd look at me to be you're not growing in Christ. Because there's some things already that we've said, and I felt the Holy Spirit is saying, people need to know that I love them. People need to know that God loves you. You need to know that God loves you. Not putting any conditions on it. God loves you when you're doing good, and God loves you when you're messing up. That doesn't give you an excuse or reason or license to go out and mess up, because the Bible also says he disciplines those whom he loves. So God also whips his children a little bit, okay? Detention. Anybody ever been disciplined by the Lord besides myself? You ever anybody ever grow up with one of them big old paddles in your house that's got your name on there, it's got marks, all the wax that you got, and you flip it over and you look at your brothers? My brother's not here today. He had a whole bunch of them. I had a few there. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the world says that you can't, spank a child, all those kind of things. I want to tell you, God spanks still. The world will not dictate God. Let me tell you that. The world cannot dictate God. Now let's look at love and what it looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, he says, If I speak human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal that makes no sense. Basically, we have to speak in love here at this church. We have to speak in love in our ministries and how we serve. If we don't, it comes to nothing. It's just a bunch of big, it's a big hot mess. Love has to lead. Amen? Love has to lead. And I want to tell you, loving can be hard. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but loving can be hard. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If we don't do it in love, it's almost better that we just never did it. How many of y'all know right now we need to work on our love individually, but also in church? And he doesn't stop. He says, if I donate all my goods, this is to those who give well. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It's for nothing. It's almost like whatever you do, God wants to see love first. Let me see love first. Let me just see love first. How many of y'all talk about people all the time? I'm so glad you're lifting them up. I'm so glad you're talking so positive about them. I'm so glad you're just saying, praise the Lord, God bless them. That's what you're doing, right? Woo! That's awesome, right? Yeah. Yeah. Goes on, he says, love is patient. It's got to be patient. Love has to be patient. Got to cool our jets. How many of y'all get a little steamed up real quick? How many of y'all get a little hot? How many of you go from 1 to 10, just like that? Not judging you, I'm just asking. Love is patient. We got to be patient. How many of you have a really hard time with having patience with people? Okay. We're being honest today. That's good. Love is patient, but also love is kind. So there's a word, kind. I'm going to do the good thing. I'm going to do the pleasant thing. That's what love does. Love is big, isn't it? Love does not envy. There's no room for envy. Envying what other people have, there's no room for that. We should be thankful that God blessed others. It is not boastful. Love doesn't brag. It is not conceited. It's not prideful. It does not act inappropriately. We need to be careful. We need to act in love. Love is not selfish. Love is not selfish. Let me tell you, if you have a good friend, it's okay to share that friend with someone else. Some people have a hard time sharing friends. Amen? We have a best friend, but no, I don't want that. You can't be friends with anybody else. Because we're afraid we're missing out. We're actually afraid they're talking about us, what they're doing. We're afraid they're going to get a little bit more closer to that person. And that person's not going to confide in you anymore. So we need to be careful about that. I need to cover that. No, love is not selfish. We don't hoard our friend. We don't smother our friends. Love is not provoked. And love and does not keep a record. Oh, boy. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Real quick, get in your head real quick. Who's done you wrong lately? And you remembered it. Love says, I don't do that. Now, there's places where you need to be cautious. Somebody does you wrong, you need to forgive, you need to move on. But sometimes we say, okay, I just can't be around that person during this or that, whatever, because some people will be just harmful. They're toxic. You love them from a distance, and some of us have family members like that. But we're not to hold a record of wrongs. So then he says, love finds no joy in unrighteousness. Love's not going to be a part of that unrighteous, ungodly life. But it rejoices. But what it does is it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. When you can't get through things and you can't get over things, or you can't get around the things you need to, I'm telling you, love can be the fuel that gets you through. And then it says, believes all things. Love believes all things, and it hopes for all things, endures all things. Love is that fuel, that peace that fuels you, that you can do it, that there is a bigger picture than what you can see. God wants us to not just experience His love, but to share that love in the world. Folks, there's not enough godly love out there. So much anger out there. There's so much hate in the world out there. So much of that. Can we all agree we need to love a little better? All right, let's move to this one that Jesus just had to mention. Luke chapter 6. Okay, I can love my mama, I can love my daddy, I can love my brothers, I can love my family, I can love the brothers and sisters in Christ, but can I love this next one? And I don't believe you can do it unless you have the Holy Spirit in you and understand and experience the gift of salvation, which is fueled by love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love that fueled the gift of salvation. Jesus says, but I say to you who listen, that's the key. But I say to you who listen. You can be in this room today and not be listening. Jesus had people around Him that weren't listening. They were ready. They just wanted a miracle. They wanted some food. But to you, listen, He says this, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Who is it that you don't like? Who is it that is a thorn in your side? Who is it that's done you wrong? Who is it that gets under your skin? And rightfully so. They may just have done all kinds of bad things. They may have just, oh my goodness. Jesus says, love your enemies. You see, Jesus is speaking in this moment here. He's doing this whole piece, the Sermon on the Mount. He's doing all this stuff. You see a bigger part in Matthew. But you'll see, the stuff that He was teaching was just never taught. This was the greatest sermon ever preached. You think you hear this stuff all the time. These people heard it for the first time. To love your enemies. The Jews hated a lot of people. The world just hated everybody that didn't look like them. There's a lot of hate in the world. Jesus just comes out and says, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. That's a big box and a big package. Well, how can I do that? Well, I can't do that in my love. I can't do that. I cannot do that in my love. And neither can you. But you can do it with the love from the Holy Spirit. And you can love your enemies. But it just doesn't stop there. It says what? Do what is good. Do the positive thing. Do the good thing to those who hate you. Right now, anybody, if you're keeping up with some of the denominations across the country and keeping up with some of the church associations and leadership across the country, it's almost a flat-out embarrassment. You got lawsuits in the same denominations. Everybody's taking these believers are taking other believers to court. Everybody's just fighting. It's us against them and them against us. And there's nothing. There's two things that I'm looking and I'm not seeing. One, nobody's talking about Jesus. Number two, there's no love. And if you take love out of the equation, you take Jesus out of the equation, you just got a hot. You got a big mess. You got darkness. You got evil. I don't care what the name is. I don't care who the famous preachers are or whatever. If Jesus isn't in the conversation, there's no love in the conversation, they need to stop having conversation. But they come to a place where they just want to fight and want to argue all the time. It's an embarrassment. And if we can't get it together, as believers, how are we going to share that love to non-believers in the world? Love your enemies. He says, do what is good to those who hate you, but not just do that, but bless those who curse you. That's a tough one. You see why they're cursing you out? Why they're cussing you out? Why they're all upset with you? They're talking bad. It can be a family member. It can be anybody. I want to tell you something. A godly person is off to the side, and they're praying about what they're going through. And I want to tell you, when you take your problem to the Lord, it'll turn in. If you're letting the Lord lead that prayer, you'll turn in there. You'll share a few things. But what will happen is you'll start praising God through that. And when you start praising God, then you'll start to pray positively. God will start moving through your praise, and God will start turning your heart into the right direction. And then you end up start praying for that individual who's doing you wrong. Then he says, pray for those who mistreat you. I mean, y'all been mistreated by a brother or sister in Christ. Yes. We're to pray for them. We are to pray for them. If you were part of our church back on State Street way back when, there was an individual that came and preached. He was only there one time. I think he was a guest in the audience or the congregation wants to come see. But he came and preached on a Sunday morning, or it might have been a Sunday night. And his wife, Grace, his name is Johnny. They call him Johnny U, and his wife's name was Grace. And they came and preached and preached the message and sang a couple songs, and it was great. And then he just kind of went on. But I got to know Johnny Yu pretty well, the best that I could. He was from South Korea, Korean. But Johnny Yu has shared that to experience true love, he gave me the story. He said, I was in the Philippines, and I was preaching in the Philippines. And the thing over there was to try to kidnap somebody who was a missionary or a preacher that was being funded by a major denomination like Southern Baptist. Well, he gets captured, and they put him up for ransom. He said, I was just preaching the gospel, and I got captured on this road, and they took me, and they were going to put me up for ransom. They put me in there. And they told me that they're going to get X amount of dollars, if not, that they were going to kill me. And he said that no one's answering. Basically, they don't pay ransom. You know, this is the kind of work you get into, that you sing these songs. Lord, if you take my life, it's good. Well, you sing it. You better live it, right? Nobody wants to go down that road, but we need to be strong. And we need to. So at night, a man comes to Johnny and says, Johnny, he says, I'm going to kill you in the morning. I'm guarding you. You are not going to escape tonight. If it is not paid, they told me that I have to kill you in the morning. And I'm going to sit right here, and you are not going anywhere. Not serious. Going to kill you in the morning. Well, Johnny says, I had nothing else to do but talk, so I began to share the gospel with this man. He says he was a big man. And I began to share the gospel with him, and he came and asked if he could receive Christ. So he wins that man to the Lord for Jesus. That man lets him out before the sun comes up, he lets him out, and they escape. And then Johnny begins to go out and preach in his circuit again. But this time he has a bodyguard. They didn't mess with him because this guy was supposed to be pretty big and pretty tough. And Johnny says, there was a moment there that I said, this is my enemy. This is my enemy. They don't want me to do harm to me. They want to kill me. They're going to kill me unless so-and-so pays money. I was nervous. It's my life. But he said, what kicked in was, that man is lost. This is what God has called me to do. I cannot pick and choose who needs to hear the gospel. He says that, he begins to share, that was an act of love. But not that I love this man, but that God loved this man. And worked through his Holy Spirit, which the only one in that building, that room that had the Holy Spirit was me. So God chose me to work his Holy Spirit, his love through me, so that I can share with him that he might experience what real love was. So this man comes to Christ because another man loves his enemy. Yet we avoid people even in church sometimes because we feel like people are an enemy. And there should be no enemies here, amen? We should love each other. You see, there's a part that I feel in my life, there's a moments where you have to learn how to love hard. You have to learn how to love hard. You have to learn how to love those who don't love you back. You have to learn how to love those who've talked bad about you. Who's talked behind your back, who said some things, and you know it. And your first intent is to just go right at them in the flesh. But the Spirit says, no, we don't do that. Love is not just something that we need to learn not just something that we need to receive from God, but also that we need to learn to exercise, to experience the power and the strength of what real love is. Praying for someone that is your true enemy. Praying for those who don't believe in what you're doing. I'm telling you right now, if there's anything this world needs, is love. We need to be praying for this country. But not in the way that you always think to be praying. We need to be praying for brokenness. We need to be praying that we're going to... That isn't that this country would come back to God, that people would just come to Christ. We need to pray for the lost person. But we need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for those family members. How much love do you have? Your love has a limit if it's just your love. And it has conditions. But God's love is unconditional. It has no limits. It has no limits. If it had limits, do you think that you would be saved today? Think about your life before you came to Christ. Why would God ever choose you and your good stuff? He chose us. He loved us all unconditionally. Took us as we were on the corner of brokenness and sinfulness, deceitfulness and ugliness. And he picked us up and began to mold us. And who is he trying to mold us into? To the image of Christ. That we might learn to see as he sees and love those who feel unloved and to love all. We all need to learn to love a little more. Amen. Father, as we begin to close.